It is good to see you in the place of worship. You are at the right time, in the right place with? Amen, amen. We have a few announcements. You can find that in your bulletin. And I want to mention a couple of things. Bible study. Now we have 4 Bible studies. Last week, it was the first time for the Wednesday morning and evening. And we also have Thursday and Saturday morning. Every one of them was amazing. Amazing. So it is not late. You join if you have not. So please find one of them. And I really want to encourage you to join and share the fellowship and study the Bible together. And there will be a workshop opportunity tomorrow afternoon at Dixon First UMC that is called Fresh Expression. It is about reaching people, unchurched people, non-churched people, how we may speak to them the Word of God. So if you are interested, please let me know. And last Sunday, our blessing of the backpack went really good. I mean, we saved some fun. We will have it later, but last Sunday we had 20 kids at both 8 and 10 a.m., and it was so much fun. And I'm going to mention that a little bit more, and we had hot dog. And another fun is coming, October 16. We will do chili cook-off and dessert auction. Many of you remember that, right? So mark on your calendar, and more information will be coming. And next Sunday, I'll be gone. Somebody's smiling, so we will have perfect exchange. So Pastor Rosa Lee will come. Yes, she's my boss. And I will go to her church and we will do perfect exchange. I mean, so please remember that. And Wendy is our pilot, our liturgist. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Please rise and join me in the call to worship. Light of God, shine upon us this hour. We bring to you all that we are, both our strengths and our weaknesses. We lift our prayers for your world in all its beauty and its pain, trusting in your Spirit's power to redeem. Let us encounter your Holy Spirit, undeniably present among us, that we may bear Christ's light to a world that longs for peace. Amen. Please join me in the opening hymn, Maker in Whom We Live.
Maker in whom we live, in whom we are and move, the glory, power, and praise receive for thy creating love. Let all the angels come, give thanks to God on high, while the joyful song and echoes to the sky. Incarnate deity, let all the ransomed race render in thanks their lives to thee for thy redeeming grace. The grace to sinners showed, ye have me for and Christ, salvation to our God, salvation to the Lamb.
Amen. Please be seated. Yes, during the week we have a few people. You see the names: Brooklyn, Elisa, Barb, Eric, and Ashley. Lynn, please. Lynn, you have two kids underneath. Please say happy birthday to them. Yes, thank you. I talked a little bit about the blessing of the backpack last Sunday. Education team, I really appreciate education team and men's group for their amazing work. And dunking at the pastor was really wild, but fun. And kids really enjoyed that one. And I just want to mention Amy and Giovanni, they cleaned all the mess and tiny water balloon pieces. And Amy particularly wanted me to recognize Giovanni because he's been amazing. He's been amazing. Would you please lower the volume a little bit? And now I want to invite you to share your joys and concerns. What joy you want to share as family and prayer request? Yes! Yes. Hello. I see. Oh. Yeah. I see. Yes. So happy to have you, Becky. Why don't we give her a big hand as we welcome her? Thank you. And other joys and concerns? Yes. Please remember her in your prayers. Thank you very much.
My wife, Jan, had her shoulder surgery, and for the first few days, she was a pain. But I want to thank Nancy and Dara for the meals they settled. They were wonderful. And thank you for the prayers that the surgery was successful. And she
thank you. And she has been taken care of by her amazing, patient, and fantastic husband. Am I right? Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you. Please remember Jen in your prayers.
I have a joy and a concern. My husband retires officially this week. Oh, so the prayers for me.
Yeah, at the beginning that sounds like joy, and then, yes.
Ask me a mom.
Yes, we will. Thank you. And other joys and concerns? Please remember Dave 6 in your prayers. She has been battling with skin cancer, and during the week he went to see a doctor for a procedure, but doctor found the cancer go deeper, so now he has to go to a hospital in Wisconsin to have a surgery. So it's been too much for him. So please remember Dave and Sharon in your prayers. And also, please remember Pastor L. He was not feeling good during the week, and he went to see a doctor to take some tests. But, he has an amazing doctor, and doctor told him, you're not going to go home today, but stay at the hospital. And now he's at the hospital, CGH, and taking more tests and tests, but he is in good spirit. Yet, we need to have him in our prayers. And other joys and concerns? That's a good joy.
So I have a couple things. The first thing I wanted to say is thank you all for the prayers for the camp that I talked about last week. Somehow, it has survived and went right up to the road that you enter in. The sign caught on fire, but none of the buildings have been touched, and we're to the point where we're kind of out of that woods, literally.
Yes, that's my joy, technically, yes. Thank you. And I want to mention two more things. The first one is many of you remember Betty Andrea. Betty Andrea passed away 2 months ago, and we had a graveside service yesterday. And please remember her family in your prayers. And I received an email. You remember Pastor Nancy Dvorak? Yes, yes. Her husband, Paul, passed away lately. And her funeral was yesterday in Wisconsin, almost near Green Bay. But please remember Pastor Nancy in your prayers. And now let's turn to God and pray. Holy God, this morning we come to you, Lord. We bow before you and worship you. Lord, just like the disciples and so many people, you invite us. In our daily lives, we encounter so many difficult moments, in many ways, challenging moments, but Lord, we want to see you, and we welcome you into our lives. Lord, lead us this day to the place where all things are made new in your grace. And give to us the vision and your will to embrace ourselves and the people around us and the people who are in need. Lord, we named many of us who need you more. Remember each one of them. You know their need. Lord, where any of your people suffer, we pray for a way to assist them in our prayers and support. Where any of your people are sick, Lord, touch their body and touch their spirit, touch their soul, and let them feel you and let them feel that they are not alone. Where any of your people hunger, Lord, help us to find a way to feed them and help them to have an opportunity. Lord, there are so many places we need you. And we ask, humbly we ask for your hand. Be with us. And help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Please be seated. And let's sing together, "More Love to Thee, O Christ," verses 1 and 2.
Comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Since we have a little bit of I'm in a small group. I just want to come close to you. Okay, I'm not going to say this, at the 10 a.m. service because it's going to be on live stream, but 2021 has been really tough for me. I had pneumonia for about 2 months, and COVID, long COVID, and allergy, and some other stuff, and I have now IBS. So it's kind of, I'm slow, low, but I'm trying to kind of cheer me up. And I just thought about, yes, we have really good people. We have a really good community that support one another. And that's my joy this morning. We have been talking about Jesus. We love Jesus, right? Amen, amen. We love Jesus, and when we read the Bible, we have some questions, even though we love Jesus, because we want to know more about him, because we want to be like him. But it is not just us. People outside, when they hear what the church talks about Jesus, questions. Sometimes we have doubt. And I just want to encourage you to ponder, to think about that. Because sometimes we question, how do we make sense of this? It's been a journey. And we have the best part, the most important part today. And we are going to focus our attention on the resurrection of Jesus. And then I'm going to ask you, on behalf of Jesus, what do you say that I am? What do you say that I am? Let me ask you, when do you pray harder? I know you are praying all the time. Oh, yeah, I see your smile. I love that. I encourage you to open your day with a prayer, maybe simple prayer. One sentence or 1 minute prayer will be really good. It is like, God, thank you for another day. Thank you. I'm really excited to see the people that you bring in my life. Or let me be the person you want me to be. Guide me, direct me, and inspire me. That might be a good prayer that opens our day. Yes, many of you pray without ceasing. Then when do you pray harder than usual time? When one of your beloved one is sick, when you have a challenging moment in your life, when you are deeply concerned about all the bills you have to take care of, all the duties and responsibilities, it's above, something above you think you can handle. We pray harder because we desperately need God's hand, and somehow God works in our lives and solves the problem. During the pandemic, I did that a lot. I prayed so many times, God, please do something. Do something. I'm really tired of this pandemic. Lord, please do something. Yes, that is who we are. Then how about people in Israel? I mean, 2,000 years ago, I believe the Israel people, Israelite, 2,000 years ago, they prayed much, much harder than we can imagine. They were occupied by a foreign empire, and they didn't have freedom. Their economic condition deeply depended on their Roman soldiers, and their political situation was really bad with the vacancy of their leadership. For centuries, when we do not agree with our political leaders, we wait. And we judge them by our vote every 2 or 4 years. Once in a while, they are very nice because they need our vote, right? Election. But Israel people, they didn't have that opportunity. They had been longing for the anointed one by God, the Messiah, just like King David for years and years, to lead them and give them freedom from the empire. And there were so many people who tried to lead a rebellion against the Roman Empire. And all of them, every single one of them, they were arrested and put to death. They were crucified and they were dead and they were buried in a tomb, and that's it. Israel people, they have seen that happening so many times, a few dozens, and all of them just stayed dead. That's it. But the gospel tells us something different happening with Jesus. They tell us that on the third day, woman arrived at the tomb early Sunday morning, and they found Jesus' body was gone, and the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. When the woman found the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty, just, we know their first response, right? Did they say, hey guys, Look at this. Jesus has risen. He's alive. Did they say that? No. No. Their first response was, somebody has stolen his body. That was what they believed had happened, because they saw him die and be buried and stayed in the tomb. And it wasn't until the woman actually saw Jesus, they proclaimed, Jesus has risen. Then they ran to the disciples and they said, I have seen the Lord. He is alive. Then the disciples, they didn't say, hallelujah, I knew it, right? No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And finally, Jesus appeared to the disciples and more. And they finally, they said, they believe it. And Thomas was not there. And the disciple talked to Thomas, hey, bro, we have seen the Lord. You missed the point. Then we know what Thomas said. I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to believe you. Unless I touch him, I'm not going to believe you. When people tell me they are struggling to believe in the resurrection, I say, you are in a really good company. There are so many people. When the disciple, when the woman saw that the tomb was empty, these people who were close to Jesus didn't believe it. Even after they saw Jesus and told the disciples, they didn't believe it. Even the disciples and hundreds of people talked to Thomas, I have seen the Lord. Thomas, actually he's my favorite one, he didn't believe it. And Apostle Paul, he struggled to believe in the resurrection. And we know he was a Jewish leader. When he heard the Christians talk about the resurrection, he was persecuting Christians more and more until the Lord finally appeared to him. And that changed his life upside down. So when somebody tells me I really struggle to believe it, I may say, you know, the disciples, they didn't believe it at first. They doubted. Did the woman, so did the disciples, so did the Apostle Paul. So it is okay to doubt and question. That's the part of what I'm trying to say during this sermon series. It is okay we wrestle with our doubt and question as long as we pray and ask God these questions. Then with the question about the resurrection, what kind of proof can we offer and can we find and offer? Is there any reason that a thoughtful, logical, and rational person would believe Jesus died and rose from the grave? So here is some proof that we may find. The first one is the empty tomb. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the tomb was empty, and everybody could see the body was gone with their eyes. And you have to come up with some explanation for why the tomb was empty. So there are three possible explanations. The first one is, when the woman thought it would be what they thought about, somebody stole the body. Who knows? They might have wanted to humiliate him more. So they stole the body. That is kind of first option, first possibility. And the second possibility is what Jewish religious leaders said. The disciples stole Jesus' body so they could make up the story of the resurrection. That's the second possibility. And the third one is the testimony. The resurrection is real. So we will talk about that. When you think about the first explanation, it is what you can imagine. Somebody stole the body to humiliate Jesus and his disciples. So once the disciples find the tomb was empty, once they begin to say, hey, Jesus has risen, he's not there, then they might provide Jesus' body. Hey, no, you are wrong. We have his body. You guys are wrong. He didn't make it. But we don't have any proof that. Religious leaders, they couldn't do that. They couldn't produce the body of Jesus. It might make more sense that the disciples, or a couple of them, they stole the body. They wanted to say more about that. But just imagine that. If you make up a story, are you willing to risk your life? 10 out of 11 disciples, they were persecuted and they died while proclaiming the good news. If you just make up a story, and can you die for that story? So that doesn't make sense. Then the last one. And we actually have the testimony of the people who claimed that they have seen the Lord after the resurrection. And Apostle Paul wrote this somewhere between 55 and 62 in Rome. He said, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in return had received, that Christ died for our sin in accordance with the scripture, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture, and he appeared to Cephas and to the disciples, 12, and he appeared more than 500 brothers and sisters, and most of them are still alive. And then he appeared to James and all the disciples, apostles, and to me." It's interesting. It is like Apostle Paul saying, look, you want proof? You want to have some evidence? There are hundreds of people in the Holy Land who actually saw him. A few of them, they died, but most of them, they are still alive. You want proof? Go and ask. It's real. Even if you don't believe it, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. When I was a seminary student back in the late 90s, I was really struggling with this resurrection. Jesus' physical body resurrection. I was like Thomas Jefferson or Albert Schweitzer that I talked about a few weeks ago, who didn't believe in anything supernatural. So I loved Jesus. I loved his teaching and his moral, so many ethics, so many fantastic stories. He was a fantastic guy, amazing teacher. But I was stuck by his physical resurrection. As I was reading the gospel as a young man, I was reading Matthew. I fell in love with Jesus and his teaching about the kingdom of God. And then I read the resurrection story, and I couldn't believe it. I was just, okay, I hope that's the real case. But I knew that people don't come back, walk out of their tomb. Then I began to read the Gospel of Mark, and I fell in love with Jesus. And at the end, again, the empty tomb. Wow. I really want it to be the case. Then I began to read the Gospel of Luke, and I fell in love with Jesus again and again, his teaching and caring heart for the people around him. And it happened again in the Gospel of John. And in the end, I realized Jesus. Jesus really came to us to help us to know who God is, what God's will was for us. And he was talking to us the nature of our human being. And when I read the Gospels, and especially the First Corinthians, actually that's why we have the Bible study, one of the Bible study with the First Corinthians, suddenly his resurrection made sense to me, logically. How else could this story end if Jesus came from God and proclaimed the truth of God and the reality of our human existence? If Jesus died, and as if he was put to the grave and stayed there, and if that's the ending point, the message will be evil, hate, sin, and death are going to be the final word in our life. No. 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 Apostle Paul says, now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And he continued, if there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ has not been raised. As a person who has seen the Lord after the resurrection, he boldly proclaims Jesus' resurrection, which he experienced, and he proclaims our salvation. And his word brought me to the point where I say, yes, I believe it. I believe in Jesus' resurrection, which he experienced, and I could feel it. I'm not just believing it, but I'm counting on it. If you don't believe it, let me tell you, at this point of your faith journey, it is okay. In our journey, that is our goal. We are moving one more step, and finally get to the point this truth comes to our heart. And it is our journey to find our answer to Jesus asking, who do you say that I am? And my prayers is, our answer is like Peter. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, and I believe in you. Amen. Now, let me ask you, what does Jesus' resurrection mean to you? You don't have to shout it out or speak loud. You can think about that. What does Jesus' resurrection mean to you? Yes, that's good. You know, let me just repeat it. During the sermon series, I just reminded you, Jesus' resurrection means God's love letter. God says, I love you. You mean to me, you are beloved, and I am well pleased with you. And Jesus' resurrection means God's forgiveness. God welcomes you. And Jesus' resurrection means restoration, reconciliation, and being renewed by the Spirit. In our personal life, sometimes we need it. We need to be renewed. In our relationship, we need to be reconciled with somebody. Maybe that might be one of your family members or a close friend. And resurrection means ourselves and the people outside. As we break the bread and share the cup, it means we are reminded of Jesus, his sacrifice, and hope in his resurrection. And when we receive it, we say yes. Yes. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Bless each one of us, Lord. And bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Lord, as we take these precious elements, we say yes. And lead us, Lord. Inspire us and guide us to the point of reconciliation, restoration in our life. Amen. As you know, you are welcome to come forward if you are willing to receive the bread from one bread, or if you feel comfortable, you can do that. Or if you want to stay wherever you sit, you may remain sitting and join the communion with your pre-filled wafer and cup. And now you are welcome. Body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Mike, the body of Christ. Body of Christ. Yes, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Man, the body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ, my friend. Joy. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Becky. Body of Christ. Give me a second. It tastes really good, but I need some time. Oh, yeah. I love communion, especially in the morning. Oh, I don't want to forget about this. It was supposed to be last week, but finally, we have a keychain puzzle or some popping, stress popping. You know, kids, our students, can you believe it? They have a lot of stress. And yes, it is. So I thought maybe they need stress relief popping. It's a keychain for their backpack, so don't forget to take yours. So, and if you have kids in your home or neighbor, please go take it. It is time, I mean, I just want to invite you to share the moment you were grateful during the week. Where did you find God's hand during the week or this morning? Beautiful. Thank you.
Seeing the whole family enjoy looking around the church and seeing things, mm-hmm. you know, things that reminded them of Betty and their time here.
Yes.
A good friend helping me yesterday with some logs.
Oh, yeah, your good friend. Yep. Yeah. Is it? Yeah. A good friend. Yes.
An hour just isn't long enough for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it was very blessed.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I may say Wednesday night also, I mean, we said, oh, it's already 1.5 hour past. Okay, guys, time to go home. Let's pray. So it was really beautiful sharing our life and study the Bible and apply that to our life. That was beautiful, so. And I just want to remind you again, it is our journey to find God's hand every day. Maybe in the morning, when it's raining, God. Oh, now, whenever we have rain, I'm reminded of Nancy, because Nancy says, oh, I feel like my baptism is here. I love it. Whenever we have rain, we feel baptism and God's grace. Whenever we have a good people around us, we are grateful for the people. And we find God's hand. And we are grateful. With all the gratitude, this moment, let's present ourselves, our time, and our mind to God. Born of His Spirit, washing in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. A responsive benediction, that means we bless one another, and we have it on the screen. Come on, it's okay. Don't go away. Let us seek justice and discover God's blessings. Let us practice kindness and touch Christ's presence within. Let us share mercy and abide in the Spirit. As we go into the Word, may God go with you, direct you, guide you, and strengthen you and empower you. So now let us go boldly, live as Jesus' disciples. Amen.
More.